Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle. Well, not even monthly at this point. Seattle said, whatever. Hey, it's a podcast. I'm your host for mornings on 107.7 and I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats before it was called Lumen Field. He is Spokane Brandon.
Spokane Brandon, and apparently, okay, I'm getting, like, put through the ringer right now as far as, like, the Spokane soccer scene is concerned, because, so, a while back, it was announced that Spokane is getting a USL 2 team. Oh, okay. That's my dog. We're getting a USL 2 team, okay? So it's the one that plays in the league below where the Tacoma Defiance were playing, which was in the USL Championship. So then we're also Stop. We're also getting a USL Women's team, which is a new league starting next year. Well, now the Tacoma Defiance are playing in the poorly designed MLS Next League or whatever that is. And Seattle Sounders are talking about making them play a bunch of games in Spokane. And so I'm like, does that mean we're not getting the USL team anymore? Anyway, Spokane is snowy. It's fun today. I don't know who I'm going to support next year is all I'm saying.
Wait, you don't know if you're going to support the Sounders?
No, I mean, the Tacoma Defiance, like, they train in Seattle and then fly over to Spokane. That's, like, the worst job. If you're, like, 16-year-old kid, you're in school on Friday, you go to training after school, and then they're like, you got to get on a flight to Spokane. And they're like, Spokane? I remember how I felt about Spokane when I was a kid, and I have family over here. I love Spokane, but I'd be like, I have to go to Spokane.
Dumb.
And I live here now.
People call it Spokanistan and stuff like that, like for the distance and desert nature of
it. The amount of snow that we have today is more like Spokanada.
Love that. Well, so I have a question about, okay, first of all, let's come back to Tacoma Defiance the MLS Next and all that stuff, because we need to address where we've been for literally 6 weeks and why this season has gone so poorly. First of all, last time we podcasted, the Sounders were still in it because the season was still going. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the Sounders were still in it. Yeah, because it was before the playoff match. Then on top of that, they get bumped out, and then stupid Portland makes it to the MLS Cup final match, and then they lose in penalty kicks, which we'll get to here in a second as well. Okay, so all that happened. We haven't talked about any of it, and that's because I was tasked at work with starting a new show that Brandon is the very gracious co-host of, called Nerd Talk Plus. I do a segment on my radio show on 107.7 The End, and in Portland, and in, I almost said Spokane, in Sacramento. Every day it's called Nerd Talk. And this is like the half-hour version of it that we do. And it's super-duper fun. Like, I enjoy it so much because we get to really pontificate about things we know even less than soccer and make really big holes of ourselves, right? And it's a good time, and there's a ton of laughs, and, you know, it's real fun. But because of that, we don't have time for this podcast, which is a shame because I very much enjoy doing this one. And we'll figure out how to do a work-life balance. You know, you adding a kid to the scene should make it way easier.
Oh, yeah,
you'll have
obviously,
way more time.
Yeah.
So we do this other show, and, like, no one's listening. It's a live show that you can only listen to if you are on the Odyssey app. And then maybe if you just search on the podcast provider of your choice, you'll find it somewhere else and be able to listen to whenever you want. Wink! I'm not supposed to say any of that, but that's where we're at right now. Because no one's listening, so I'm trying to get people to listen by posting it. But if they're trying to make radio happen live on this app, fine. Great. Grant. I think nothing of it. We make tons of fun of it all the time. We're constantly, like, railing on the fact that no one's listening and how silly it is. In the my boss, the general manager of my branch, sends out a thing being like, hey, and congrats to these couple shows The Appy Hour, which is the men's room on KISW. They do a little live show every day. And Nerd Talk Plus for paving the way for the future of radio. Whatever. Oh, wow. Okay. I hope no one's listening. Obviously, they're not, because no one would ever praise it if they were, based on how much crap we talk.
I talk about a lot of whale stuff.
So much whale talk. Whale talk. Whale talk. But then it gets a little bit more uncomfortable for me. I'm talking to my friend Leslie, who was smart enough to be on the company-wide call that everyone was supposed to be on, and I wasn't. And I was like, oh, man, Jack sent this thing, and the general manager sent this thing. And she's like, no, dude. That was brought up as an example. Company-wide, hundreds of stations, thousands of employees were like, Nerd Talk Plus is getting it done. And I was like,
It is not.
Did anybody listen to it before they? That's like when you're like,
they don't know when it's on.
Man, I really love, you know, what's the guy from the Smiths? What's that guy's name?
Elliot Smith?
No,
I got that wrong. I'm sorry. Elliot Smith is, when you said the Smiths, my brain immediately.
Yeah.
Morrissey.
It's like being like, I love Morrissey and I know nothing about his politics or his stance on anything, right? And then you like find out about everything. Not like if somebody's going to listen to Nerd Talk Plus and they're going to be like, those guys are actually racists and
no A-holes. Not at all.
Yeah, it's like no, that's
A-holes,
not
A-holes, yes. Yeah,
A-holes for sure. It's like, it's not that at all. It's just that the podcast is bad.
Listen, the same way that we've never played soccer at any level other than youth, and then you try to comment about soccer, and everyone does it, and sports fans, football's even worse. People are like, why are they playing nickel coverage when it's like, shut up. You don't.
The thing is like, we are actual self-proclaimed and sometimes other proclaimed nerds. Like, we do spend a lot of time looking at nerdy stuff and butt stuff and looking at
whale stuff
for sure.
Whale butt stuff
obviously. And we spend a lot of time looking at that kind of stuff, and so we do a podcast about the crazy stuff that we learn about the world. Now, do we also talk about, like, what was it, like gerbils taking over the world because they control the lava Bitcoin or something like that? Yes, 100%.
Listen, anything I've ever done in my whole life is, how do I talk about something and then make it ridiculous? I consider myself an absurdist.
Yeah, like the Sounders.
Yeah, like, I don't know crap about how, like, what 5 at the back actually means, but I'm not a dumb guy either. I can see how it plays out. I haven't spent thousands of hours watching it.
I told my brother, Steven, who, by the way, congrats, he is also going to have a kid. He's going to have a kid in June, like about 6
goat
months
or
after.
Human?
Goat. Yeah, they live in Enumclaw now, so it's going to be a goat.
That is not what I meant. Wait, did they move from West Seattle to Enumclaw?
Yeah, bro.
Weird.
Yeah. It's a drive, and he knows. But I asked him, I said, hey, Steven, we're about to do a full 90 podcast. Any questions that we should answer? And he puts a bunch of these questions in, and they're all like very serious questions. And I was like, okay, but what about dumb questions? And the first thing he says, who has the best butt?
I'm in. This is what we're talking about. I see that our friends at MLS UK show, they do a MLS podcast about from the perspective of people in England, and they have like Taylor Twellman on their show. We're answering questions about butts. So, and I bet you, what do you think? Joao Paulo?
I would say Joao Paulo. He's got some thickness. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Schmetz?
Oh, big guns, big buns.
Big buns Schmetz. he asked us a bunch of very good questions that I think we should get to later in the show.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars if you're still listening.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know which Seattle Sounder player of all time has the best butt.
See, now the players that I put in the run sheet here, I don't know if I can do one of them because he's 16.
No. You definitely should not have even said that much. Sorry.
The question wasn't going to be who has the best butt.
But we got to improvise, Brandon. When your brother serves us up with such quality meat like that, we got to go.
Well, I guess it does get us into the news that the Sounders did sign two new players.
Hold on, real quick. I just want to finish on that note. I'm sorry that we didn't podcast more. We will work out a way to be better and more consistent for the new season. This one just got away from us launching a new show. We're 20 episodes into it. It took a lot of time and commitment, and I will do my best to do better next season about rallying to make Brandon do more free work.
The thing is that I'm expecting a kid shortly, and I have a wife who needs me, and yeah. We have a lot of appointments to go to all the time.
And hates us
as a couple. Like she definitely, like I spend more time talking to Greg every day than I do talking to her.
Not true.
That's not true, but we do spend a lot of time talking. Yeah, hey buddy. And actually, I get a lot of time off from work. And so, hey, maybe we'll actually have some time to be able to do this podcast in the new year.
Brandon has what we call a cool job where they give him 6 months to be a new dad.
I get to do the dad thing, which is choose to stay at your like kind of boring corporate job in order to support your family and hate your life.
Yeah. Hey, hating your life is universal.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't matter. I have the coolest job, but I still am like, when is this over?
Yeah.
And the podcast, too, maybe. So, anyway, moving into actual Sounders things to talk about. Two big signings this week. They're not big signings, but two interesting signings, specifically one that's a multi-year deal.
Oh, yeah. So, Sounders go on and signed Sam Adeniran. I don't know how exactly you say his name, but he you would have seen him last year with the Sounders. He played a few matches when the Sounders were in that really poor injury and international run of games, right? And then they signed Obed Vargas, who is a Sounders Academy product who came up through playing at Tacoma Defiance, and he's 16 years old. And eventually, I saw a tweet like the Sounders are very close to being able to sign a player who was not born when the Sounders entered the MLS era.
Barf.
Like, let's see. Obed Vargas. Let's see. The Sounders started in MLS in 2009. Okay. Obed Vargas was born in 2005. He's 16. So that means that players who were born in 2009 are currently 12 years old, almost 13 years old. They are 3 years away. Actually, no, didn't we have a 15-year-old play for the Sounders this year? We are potentially 2 years away from having a 15-year-old who was born the same year the Sounders entered MLS.
Yeah, mom was here that... Oh, boy.
Okay.
Can't say that. Mom joke. I'm just adding that to the list of things I need to
tell me.
Later.
So tell me about the multi-year deal, because I did not see that.
I think it was I think Obed Vargas actually signed a 3-year deal instead of a 1-year deal with 2-year option. They actually signed him up long term.
That must mean a lot for a player like that. That means the Sounders probably see a lot in him because he's a homegrown player. You can I think there's a lot of like different budget things that you can do with a homegrown player like that. Where if even in the upcoming years, they could restructure his contract in a multiple number of different ways where they can make him count less against their ultimate like budget cap. So the fact that they're signing him to a 3-year deal right now without those options is actually pretty impressive, and it must mean that we can expect some big things from him, hopefully.
Adeniran signs a 1-year deal with club options for 23 and 24, while Vargas.
There is a typo
here on their press release.
Varags is Trogdor's cousin.
Varags! I'm flooding the countryside! Vargas signs a 4-year deal with a club option for 26.
Wow.
So he's on like a 4 to 5 year deal. I wonder
if it's one of those things where they expect that he's going to sign in Europe. And if they sign him to a big deal like that, they'll get more money out of him when, Dortmund come calling or whatever, second division team in England, right? So if they have him signed to a big contract rather than a 1-year contract where they could potentially lose him in the new year, or if they have him signed to a very cheap contract, they don't have to get bought out for as much. So sign him to a big old contract because they know he's having conversations with Schalke or whoever it is, right? And they can come in and pick him up. Look at somebody like there's a report out of a guy named Tom Bogert on Twitter who says that Reed Baker Whiting, who is the 15-year-old who the Sounders played last year, is training with Real Sociedad. So he's 16 years old now. He did appear in four games last year. But if the Sounders don't have him on a contract, Real Sociedad comes in here and picks him up for not that much money when the Sounders could, you know, see a payday there. That's what teams like Dallas and New York Red Bulls have been doing for the last few years is just selling players off, like they get these good players through their academy, sell them off for a lot of money. Do they reinvest that money? No. Do they win anything? Well, I mean, the Red Bulls won the Supporters Shield a couple years ago, but I mean, Dallas, I don't know what Dallas is doing, but Dallas is probably the biggest one selling those academy players.
It's pretty weird to talk about children as commodities, huh?
Yeah.
We got this 15-year-old. What do you want to sell for?
It's not slavery as long as they're having fun with it.
Oh, okay. I think their parents have to sign, to be fair.
Sure, sure.
Now, as I mentioned, MLS Cup happened, and New York City went down to Portland. Awful, awful weather conditions, and were able to take it the full 120 minutes and then end the thing in PKs. And I know that it's so easy as to let your fandom get out in front of you on things like this. But I gotta ask, do you feel bad for Fartland for losing at home in PKs?
Nope.
I love it.
Nope. No, I was watching the entire time. I was upset when they equalized in like the 94th minute or whatever it was. Yeah. I was just upset that they were there at all to begin with. And so to see New York like get them at the death, I mean, I think that Portland can, their fans can feel good that, you know, that's the way they win out. I feel like there's always a little bit of solace in the fact that, you know, PKs can go any direction, right? And there's some solace that you can take in losing in penalty kicks. You didn't really lose on your merits, right? Like you lost in a shootout. You know,
yeah,
and so they can feel good about that. Can they hang it in their their rafters? No, probably not. Can they put it next to their MLS's back trophy champions? Yeah, go ahead and do that. But they actually did hang that in their rafters, like idiots.
That's terrible.
Their own coach, Gio Savarese, said they're still champions to me, and it reminded me of that. Do you ever see that WWE like press conference? It's still real to me, damn it.
In Formula One news, Lewis Hamilton lost on a botched call by the FIA on the last lap as a bit of controversy to create some drama to help get a new champ and make some Netflix numbers go up, right? That's my take on it. Obviously, I'm biased. But it's the, you know, they was tied on points going in. He could have easily been the champion. That's a different take on this. I saw the news. I didn't watch the match because I don't care. But I saw the news that they lost in PKs. And there was a part of me instantly where I was like, ah, oh, that sucks. You get done dirty if that's how you lose. I'd rather have players playing until they fall. It's the last possible game of the season. Play 284 minutes until it's settled. Sure. I think that would be so rad, especially for the fans. And it would be a cool challenge. But I get why you have to have PKs for television contracts and all that stuff.
I think, go ahead.
But I saw the result. I was like, oh, that's too bad. And then I like fired up the YouTube and watched it happen. And Steve Clark gets up and acts like such a dingus. And I was like, never mind. Go New York. I feel zero bad for you after that like show that he – it's like he saves one and then he gets up and he's like, yeah, awesome. Look at me. Timbers Army. Woo, boo, boo, boo. And I just think about you telling him to F himself.
Yeah, that was like the best moment of my entire life. My child hasn't been born yet, so please keep that in mind. But still the best moment of my entire life. I still think that you're right. Like penalties is a rough way to go out. But I think that what we should do is bring back the hockey penalties, like the run-up penalties, where you start at, you know, 40 yards or whatever it is, and you have to dribble up. The goalkeeper is able to come off of his line and come out. It's almost like, because what you see in hockey, right, is you see some of the dirtiest, like, tricks and moves of these guys, like, picking the the puck up and spinning around and backhanding it in. Like, imagine you just
pick, he did a triple SoCal.
Yeah, yeah. You just pick your five dirtiest, like, players, right, who can just do the nastiest move. Like, imagine guys just rainbow flicking it over Steve Clark, right? Or like nutmegging keepers on purpose, you know, and like putting it in that. Like, I feel like there's just so much more skill in that, and there's so much less chance.
What if you ended up doing, like, this is now just hypothetical.
This is that's something that MLS actually used to do.
That's awesome. I'm thinking, like, what if you set up like a 3-on-2 plus the keeper? So you had like the attacking weave come in, and then two guys to play defense and a keeper, and just keep going until find out what the best sequence of five is, yeah. and award it there.
What if you made them take hockey penalties? Like, you brought out ice and you put them on skates and made them shoot the soccer ball with a stick, a hockey stick.
What's the dude awesome or whatever? Is that what it's called? The guys that
dude
do the
perfect.
Trick shots?
Dude perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, just that.
set up a trash can, and then from the corner, you got to see if you can bend it around a guy and score.
The whole team has to do the header back and forth. Every person on the team gets it until one of them finishes it in the trash can.
I finished in a trash can once, and I never mind.
Asexually reproducing. Go listen to our other podcast, Nerd Talk, Nerd Talk Plus, if you want to hear about that.
It's definitely only a live radio show and definitely cannot be found on the internet if you search.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, boss. if you're listening to this podcast right now,
thank you.
Leave us in the reviews of this podcast. Definitely leave us a 5-star review. But yeah. Tell us, what would be a better way to end a penalty shootout?
No, I want that on the internet. I want best butt.
Best butt. Okay. Best butt. Tell us on Twitter at Full90Podcast what would be a better way to end a soccer match than a penalty shootout.
Speaking of our Twitter and butts, let me just tell you, I took screenshots of this. I'll send them to you because I use TweetDeck, and so there's all these columns full of the different tweets that are happening and stuff, right? And one of them is what the Full 90s podcast puts out. And we didn't tweet for like days, but the last tweet we did was of the awful MLS Next logo, yeah. Which is like, I can't even describe how that design looks. It's just, man, it boggles my mind. But it's animated, and so it just keeps spinning away as I'm working in the side there for days. Then I log back on after MLS Cup on that Monday, where he had done some tweeting from there, and I log back on, and now it's just Hank Hill's tiny ass. And I'm like, I guess it's better. I don't know.
Is that better? So the reason we posted that is because, and this is legendary. So imagine losing on your home turf, like we've already talked about, and then the opposing team coach strips down to his underwear and starts doing push-ups. Because that's what the New York coach did. Okay.
That's so ridiculous. Why? Was there a bet or something like that?
So he was the coach of a team, I think, in Switzerland before he came over to New York. And he kept his team then from going into relegation. And I guess there was a viral video of him at the time being so excited that he stripped down to his underwear and was doing things. And so he made a promise because somebody, like a reporter, had asked him, if New York wins the cup, will you do that? And he said, yes, I promise I'll do that. And then so he wanted to keep good on his promise. Now, one of the questions that my brother asked me when I asked him to tell me, to give me dumb questions, he said, will Schmetz go full nude when we win to one up the NYCFC coach?
Old big buns.
Old big buns Schmetz. I mean, that guy, for his age, he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, hell, absolutely, yeah. He is.
I mean, now, like, look, there are definitely coaches that I would rather see naked, but there are definitely coaches who I would...
Go ahead, I'm waiting.
Jim Curtin, for one. Ali Curtis, for two. Then there are coaches that I definitely don't want to see naked. And
why do you want to see? I just looked up Jim Curtin. Why do you want to see Jim Curtin?
Well, I'm just
naked?
Saying I would rather see
Pat
him.
Noonan.
I would actually. There you go. I would rather see some of these guys, right? Than maybe some of the other guys, like Bruce Arena, or like Bob Bradley's slithery body. Like, he looks like Mr. Burns when he takes off his clothes,
or like. when the rat guy has Voldemort all squeezed up in the little bundled up, coming out of the cauldron or whatever.
If you just you take off Bob Bradley's clothes and a bunch of spiders just kind of go everywhere.
Number one podcast of all time, right here. Give us a 5-star review.
There's a reason that your company didn't promote this one.
they're right to do it. Okay, so I mentioned MLS Next. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, MLS Next.
What the hell is MLS Next? Because I am way confused by, is there still a USL?
So yes, USL is a separate league from MLS. And they are not like the MLS chooses to play their reserves teams, such as like Sounders FC2, now called Tacoma Defiance, in that USL league, right? Yeah. But USL could say, no, we don't want your reserve teams in this league. Like, but MLS pays the money, and USL will happily take any MLS viewers it can get, right? MLS Next is basically Major League Soccer building their own reserve kind of...
yeah, they're doing the WWE method.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of, my brother asked me a question about WWE.
Okay.
I can't wait for MLS Raw.
Still real to me.
Yeah, it's still real to me, damn it. So MLS Next is basically this new reserve league, which there used to be an MLS reserves league that they didn't market very well, and it just kind of died. That's kind of preempted the USL league deal that they had with reserve teams. So now MLS Next is going to be this new league where MLS can play their reserve teams, and it's only MLS teams, it's only MLS reserves, and yeah. So I mean, that's it. It's awfully designed. USL still, I think, is the more exciting league. Like, who just wants to see a bunch of reserve teams play against each other? You'd rather see guys who are like, I mean, everybody's hungry to get to that next level, right? But I think what USL is trying to do is eventually build their league up to the point in enough markets where they can actually overtake MLS. They have a long way to go to do that, but they're setting up the foundation to create a proper promotion and relegation system between the teams that they're playing, because they have a USL Championship, which is their top league, which is funny because that's like the name of the second division in England.
It used to be the name of the first before the Premier League broke away.
Yep, exactly. They have the USL Championship, they have USL League 1, USL League 2, and then they have like the regional USL leagues. So to be able to have...
Starring Kitsap Pumas.
I think, yeah. Well, I think that they're gone now. They have one of the best crests in all of the Pacific Northwest, if you ask me. Their old crest was sick. It's kind of like a Wolverhampton type deal, but with some cooler.
Yeah, with the stripes.
Anyway, so I don't know. I don't feel like we'll be talking a lot about MLS next year, because it's going to be not that interesting to talk about. Like, I mean, when a prospect, like when an Obed Vargas or when like a Reed Baker Whiting, if he's not playing in Spain, when a player like that starts to do really well and you start to see somebody tear it up at that league, we'll talk about, hey, it looks like, you know, Sam Adeniran has done such a good job down there that the Sounders are looking at calling him up. That's when we'll talk about it. But like, are we going to care about the results? No, it's a training league. It's a development league. This is a chance for like experimentation with formations and players and trying to see like, can Alex Roldan play left back, or can he play attacking midfield? You know what I mean? Like, that's where you can test those things without real results mattering. Like, who cares if you win the MLS Next Cup, right?
Well, I'm sure if you're in the sure if you're the team that wins, you do. But.
Yeah.
I'm sure Wade Weber cares, you know?
Hey, who cares if you win the MLS is back tournament?
There it is. Well, that's really interesting that USL is now going to compete with that. It feels kind of counterproductive, kind of like what's the League Cup that we participate in with Mexico, and it's not everyone.
Oh, the League's Cup?
Yeah, the League's Cup, yeah.
You were just...
Crack that soccer ball in half and turn it into a trophy. Okay. I'm not trying to get too caught up in it, and it feels like a stunt. But if MLS can, they're really good about making their brand unified by literally controlling everything. So maybe they can do that with their second.
So there's something. So I touched on this at the beginning of the episode about Spokane, right? So first of all, there was some news out of Seattle on Monday, or was it on Wednesday of this week, that said that OL Reign and Tacoma. OL Reign. So let me back up. First of all, there's not going to be a soccer-specific stadium built in Tacoma like they were originally planning when the Tacoma Defiance were originally rebranded from S2 and moved to Tacoma. The Seattle Reign, which became the OL Reign, were then also moved to Tacoma to play down there and with the expectation that there was going to be a soccer-specific stadium built. Now, the news is that there will not be a soccer-specific stadium built in Tacoma. OL Reign are moving up to play at CenturyLink Field in Seattle, where the Sounders play.
So cool.
Lumen Field, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And and the Tacoma Defiance are no longer going to play in Tacoma either. So
where are they going to play?
Because they're moving to this MLS Next League. The Sounders are talking about, I guess these are rumors, the Sounders are looking for places for them to play. I would imagine, you know, they'll see a lot of games at Starfire because, you know, when S2 was a thing, a lot of work and infrastructure went into building out that stadium a little bit better.
It was awesome. I loved it.
I loved it down there too. That brings back some good memories, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, absolutely. You being in a suit and too uptight and John and I not taking you seriously enough.
Yeah, throwing hot dogs through the window. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. But there's talks about having them play games like on a tour around the state. So like playing some games in Spokane, you know, which would be crazy because I'm just getting excited about the Spokane USL team. So so I don't know. Like it's hard because I really just want to get into the local team. Right. But I don't want there to be two local teams, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess it's like I grew up in a town that didn't have pro sports, and so there was only minor league stuff. So I liked the Albuquerque Dukes was the name of the minor league team, but I didn't care about the Dodgers at all. I was still a Cubs fan or whatever, you know? So it's like, I feel like you can, from league to league, like different things and be okay.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you like Spokaneda FC or whatever is fine and still be a Sounders fan because it's not really the same crossover that you'd expect.
Yeah.
In the same vein, I want to give props to the new team that just launched in Seattle, a USL 2 squad. Again, there was the championship, USL 1 and USL 2 on the same scope as the Spokane team. It's Ballard FC who just launched a brand new thing under Lamar Nagel.
Yeah.
Evidently sunk some either star power or a little bit of his money from his playing days into starting a new team. And they got launched over the last couple weeks, which is December 1st they started, which is just awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing them play. What's it? I can't remember the name of the stadium now. It's Interbay Stadium?
It's Interbay Stadium. First of all, their crest is amazing. Yeah. And they released their jerseys last week, and I definitely bought one immediately.
Oh, cool. I think I will, too, just to support. Because I think they're that's a good sweet. Way to...
And I live in Spokane, obviously, but when I was over in Seattle, I actually lived really close to my apartment was really close to that stadium. I would have loved...
Where is it?
It's so... Actually, you know where the Red Mill over in Interbay is, the burger joint?
I can't picture it. I know where like the golf course is.
Yeah, so
the
golf course, if you go west a little bit from there, like if you get on that exit, you go down that main road through Interbay. It's just, it's like behind, it's like down some hill and like kind of behind it. Almost it's like tucked in a little bit, but it's in a really good spot. And it's really, really cool. I actually tried to go, me and my buddies were trying to find, actually me and Steven and our buddy Tyler were trying to go find a place to kick a ball around, and we wanted to go in there, but they keep it really like locked up and tight. So, because that's where SPU's home field is. They like to keep it nice and clean. So, we couldn't go play there, but it looks like a sweet stadium, and it would be really fun to catch a game.
I guess I assume that SPU played at they would have their own facility on campus, but they wouldn't because there's not any room there.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sorry. Okay, cool. Well, that's great. I mean, it's interesting. I'm really confused by the fact that MLS is kind of abandoning the USL like that, but also they don't have control over it. We know how much they like that.
I mean, MLS Next is going to get zero eyeballs on it. I guarantee. Yeah. And so I don't think USL is really
at risk.
Don't
tell that to Dave Clark.
I don't think that they're really at risk other than a bunch of people who were watching their MLS teams, reserve teams, will now not be watching. But I don't know how big of a population that actually is, right?
Like, as somebody who's called a few of those games, let me tell you, it is a very small population.
We love the Sounders, and all we do is talk about the Sounders. However, we didn't even watch Tacoma Defiance games. So
yeah, there you go. Okay, there's some really crazy news that really had me shook up. That I don't know if it's just posturing or if it's legit. Hang out here. We'll get to that next. All right, so one of the things that had me super worried going to the end of the season, I thought everything was going to be okay, and then I saw something from Sounder at Heart or whatever, from Jeremiah Oshan or something, that was about Raul Ruiz Diaz thinking about kicking the can down the road and saying, peace out. Where are we at with that, Brandon? What do you think?
I don't know, man. There was new, like, Raul Ruiz Diaz posted something at the end of the season that was basically, the way that he wrote it kind of looked like a guy who speaks primarily Spanish, not understanding how his words can come across as a permanent goodbye to the club, right? Yeah. That's what it looked like. A lot of people were reading into it and looking like, thank you for everything, Sounders fans, as like, oh no, he's leaving. And I kind of looked at it originally as like, no, you guys, like, this is a guy who speaks Spanish. It doesn't translate properly, whatever, right? Like, it's just him saying thanks for the season. You know, he didn't say see you next year, but maybe he didn't think he needed to. Well, okay. Then it turns out like there are some reports coming out that Ruiz Diaz asked for more money and the Sounders weren't willing to give it to him. They're not willing to pay him. Now, he had a good season. He had a great season. He's been awesome for the Sounders.
Super good at getting COVID.
Great, like, really at getting
good.
COVID.
Yeah, really good.
Super good at getting injured as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so the Sounders aren't willing to pay him the more money, and so I'm like, well, maybe it's just posturing. Maybe they'll come to an agreement. Who knows what's going to happen? It would have been really sad to see that last game without knowing that it was his last game, to see him go out, right? But he is not featured in any of, like, so MLS just released the schedule for the new year, and Ruiz Diaz is not featured in any of the promotional materials from the Sounders for the new season. And,
oh boy.
And so it's sounding like they are not going to come to an agreement. And so the Sounders either are playing Sam Adeniran up front primarily next year or looking for a new striker. I mean, Will Bruin's there as well, but like looking for a new striker?
Maybe this is the rebuilding year for the fish cannon. Like maybe they just have to, too many fish guts cut up in the engine that shoots.
He said he's Peruvian. So he was saying, you start putting guinea pigs through that cannon or I walk. And they're like, we could never. It's salmon or nothing.
That's not it at all. He demanded to be paid in Bitcoin, and they were like, that's what South America's transitioning to.
I know,
okay?
I know.
Yeah. I don't think there could be anything as hard to cope with as the guy who every ninth touch scores a goal.
Sure.
Like, there's when the team lost Obafemi Martins, that was huge to find somebody to score with that consistency that you needed. And you still don't know if Jordan Morris is going to be productive next year or not, what role he's going to be in or how clutch he's going to – like, he's not a Ruiz Diaz. He's not a number nine up top like that.
Well, and we have talked a lot, not necessarily on this podcast, about how if Raul Ruiz Diaz was fast, about how much more – incredible he would be for this team. The Sounders haven't really had a fast, pacey striker since they lost Obafemi Martins.
Yeah.
Before that, it was Eddie Johnson, and he was also a threat in the air. But also, like Ruiz Diaz, wanted some more money and didn't get it. So I think that the Sounders, if they are in the market for another striker, I don't know how quick Adeniran is or not, but if they're in the market for another striker, they need pace. Like, imagine two quick guys like Jordan Morris plus this new fast, hopefully, striker playing alongside each other and actually being able to, like, just shred the defense. We Sounders haven't had a player like that in a long time.
I got it.
Okay.
I don't know how fast he is, but Sergio Aguero is available.
That dude is super not available because he's like a whisper away from a heart attack. But,
okay. But I just heard he retired. I don't.
Not only did he retire, he retired with 420 goals to his name.
Yes. Now, if he was playing in MLS, that would not translate well. That would only, 69 goals?
Yeah, and like that guy sucks at soccer.
No wonder he didn't play in America. Yeah, so whatever, that's no big deal. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, inflation. He wanted to go for the inflation.
I don't know what you do about that top spot there. Like, I can't understand how the team, like the MLS in general has very bad defense. And since Jimmy Traore left the Sounders, their defense hasn't been great. And that could be a coincidence that there's been injuries and stuff, but I don't have a ton of hope in that. And you said to me that getting someone, you just need someone fast who has a decent touch because they can burn through the bad MLS defense and be able to punish everybody. But those people oftentimes are needed at bigger clubs too. So
right.
I find it hard to, when you have somebody like an Obafemi, you got to cherish them while you have them because you know that they're going to go somewhere. That's Raul Ruidíaz was perfect for us because he wasn't quite fast enough that everyone else was coming poaching for him, but also he was good enough to score a bunch of killer goals. Yeah. So that's too bad. Hopefully they'll still work something out, or, you know, he's only got so many years to play, and sure. So I don't blame him if he wants to try and get that cash grab and, you know, provide for his family or whatever, but it is a bummer.
And maybe the Sounders do go for a youth play, right? Like, maybe they do go for a young, unproven striker. Maybe we actually see Leo Chu play some minutes next year.
No, stop.
Not at striker, but, you know, maybe you actually see him touch the field, which we haven't seen a lot of. I don't know why. Like, is this another, what was the guy's name? Martinelli or
Yeah, that guy plays for Arsenal, I think. But
no, but there was a guy who the Sounders, like, this is the, I can't even remember his name because the Sounders signed him and he seemed awesome and then never touched the field because he just had problems with Schmetz. Schmetz and him.
Magnus Wolf-Ikerum?
No, that guy was awesome. He had a great name. Was actually good at soccer. I don't know why we got rid of that guy.
Yeah, was that a Schmetz issue that the guy that you're talking about didn't gel, or?
Yeah, I don't exactly remember. Gosh, what was his name? It's killing me. But anyway, so who knows, like, what the deal with Leo Chu? He's a young guy, unproven. Maybe he's just not training the way that they thought he was going to.
And I feel like the way the Sounders play, I feel like the Will Bruins of the world. I love Will Bruin.
Oh,
he produces when he's healthy. He hasn't been able to make that happen very much, but like, he does okay, but he's not that.
You can't play him as a number nine.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's your holdup guy for a fast. Not to make this direct comparison, but he's the Clint Dempsey to an Obafemi Martins, right? Like, you need a guy.
He really hasn't even proven that much. He really hasn't even been able to provide that type of service.
Right.
Boy, that's rough. Hey, where do you stand on Ladero? Ladero's getting older, and he's a club legend. And, like, I'd hate to see him go, but João Paulo is not the same player, not the same position, but he provides. And then you got Christian Roldan, like... Yeah.
You play that double pivot midfield instead of the diamond with Ladero up top. I don't know, because it's a hard thing for me to say. But
first half of the season, they were fine.
They were fine without him. Do you move on from a player like Ladero who can't stay healthy? And, like, granted, it sounds like it was a surgeon's fault that he had some issues with his knee, because that's what a player will say when they can't get healthy. But Ladero has a hard time getting back fit in with the squad, not looking like his old self at any point during the last season. Granted, he didn't have a lot of minutes to play to get back up to that health. But we've been saying this for a while now. We haven't had a backup to Ladero in a long time. You rely so much on him when he's on the field that without him, it forces the Sounders hand to play differently, and the Sounders saw some results out of it. Now, they couldn't keep that through the rest of the season, Ladero or not. But to move on from a player like that, who is obviously great, but on, I would say, the decline, in my opinion, I don't know, man. Like, do you go find a new number 10? Do you go find somebody who's pacey, a pacey midfielder? I just love fast people, it turns out, so.
That's so tough, dude, because are you going to rebuild a whole squad? Are you going to try and find a new striker and a playmaker at the same time?
Yeah, is 2021 or 2022 going to be the actual rebuilding season that 21 was supposed to be?
Yeah. I can't find the article off the top of my head right now, but I was reading that soccer has surpassed hockey as the third most popular sport in the United States. And I'm sure they're not talking about MLS or USL soccer when they say that, but with the success of the Premier League and how well NBC has done at bringing that to us, that's pretty wild. And you think about, like, I'm in a city right now in Seattle where there's a crazy popular hockey team that's playing, that's skating for the first year, and so that's all anyone's talking about. But the Sounders have gotten it done 13 years in a row, and that's going to have a big impact if you start seeing that in other places. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of other cities that are having that same type of success. You got your, well, we could probably list them all pretty quickly. Yeah. You have your LAFC, you have your Portland Timbers, your Atlanta United.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
is that it?
I mean, what else do you get? I mean,
stadiums?
I guess Austin and Cincinnati have both, and Minnesota, those three teams, but they're all still relatively new, all of those teams.
Seattle's now like a figure of the league. Yeah. It's like, it's no longer, I mean, it hasn't felt like they're the new team in a long time either, but they're now like, when you're talking about soccer in America, you're talking about just a few markets, and that's one of them. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway. Okay, well, we're out of time. I could keep talking forever about nonsense like this, but in case you, I don't know, this podcast is too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen.
Okay, too long, didn't listen.
Gonna buy my killer scarf from Spokaneda FC.
I was hoping you were gonna say killer whale.
it's on there.
Yeah, okay, good.
Too long, didn't listen.
It turns out that Mr. Burns is just a robe full of spiders.
Sure is.
And Bob Bradley is just baby Voldemort. Too long, didn't listen.
We have another definitely only live show and not a podcast called Nerd Talk Plus that is taken away from the season. We are very grateful for all of the support that we've had and the people that are still staying subscribed. We'll do better next season.
Actually, I do want to say one more thing, and I congratulations, first of all, to Alex Roldan, who has gotten engaged. Yep. Good for you. Danny Ciasio, who is the social media guy for the Sounders, said, list of players to score a goal, record a save, score an international goal, compete in the MLS All-Star game with a sibling, play against the sibling in a World Cup qualifier, captain their national team, score a World Cup qualifier, equalizer, and get engaged in the same year. The list is only one. It's Alex Roldan. The other thing that I wanted to say is thank you to Scuba Steve, who is also expecting a kid, reached out on Instagram and gave me a ton of tips about things to take to the hospital for when my wife goes into labor. So really appreciate you, Scuba Steve, and good luck with your baby.
Hey, so wait, that's baby number two then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job on the sex.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.